Hey, mijn naam is Magali Dereu.
Tech Insights, entrepreneurship en smart storytelling.
En welkom bij...
De TechMag podcast.
Hey, welkom bij TechMag. Ik ben Magali en elke week interview ik een ondernemer of expert in een bepaalde discipline. Vandaag is Ashley Williams, de founder van de Amerikaanse platform Rezar. Als person of color heeft zij veel te vertellen over diversity, met de recente gebeurtenissen van George Floyd ook, en optimisme en het belang van NAPS. Jawel, veel kijkplezier. Hi Ashley!
It's so good to see you!
Yeah, you too! How are you?
Even with everything that's going on in the world, I'm trying to stay positive, in light, in love. So I'm trying to stay in that type of energy. How about you?
Yeah, me too. It's just with COVID-19, it's been tough, but I hope you're still alive and kicking.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I really think it's such an unfortunate situation. I mean, I can't even describe in words, especially knowing some individuals close to me who have, or people I know who have been impacted by it in health-wise or just business-wise. I think for our company in particular, it's interesting because it's so much focused now is on the online world, you know, and people being online and people needing content for online. So it's actually kind of proven out our business model and like our hypothesis more. So hopefully, you know, I mean, I hate that it had to do so in this way, but I hope that moving forward, we can continue helping more businesses with reaching their audiences and being more like conscious as we're doing so.
Yeah, and I with everything that's been going on, George Floyd, I can imagine it kind of must hit close to home, right?
Yes. Just so many things to say off of that, but I'm sure every person of color has experienced some type of racism or prejudice in some way. I would say my first instance of having that was when I was 8 years old on the playground when a young boy, I don't even think he knew what the word meant, but he called me the N-word. And I didn't even know what it meant. And I went home and told my parents, and my dad had a fit. And he called my principal. I think he maybe even come to the principal's office the next day. And the boy was reprimanded in a way. I'm not sure all that happened, but I mean, I didn't know what that meant. And I was only in third grade, I think. So,
wow.
I just think it just shows that the blatantness of it all has just continuously been there in our society. And I think that, it kind of is talked about, but it hasn't really been talked about. I mean, I think in the media has talked about it, but I think in this regard of everything that's going on, it was kind of just like the thing that broke the camel's back. And so now everyone is just like, and it's not even just like about police police brutality in general. It's just that whole regard of people of color and us having to deal with these things like consistently when it should be. I mean, we're in 2020. It's like, can we please just get over the fact that, you know, anything has to do with a person's color or race or whatever, you know, to the person, like it's about the person's character, who they are as individuals. So, I mean, it's again, that's another unfortunate event that happened, but I also think it's been like a huge wake up call for people. And I think this whole time of reflection and people kind of being in this mindset of being more conscientious about how the world is, what's happening in the world, it's kind of like, it was an opportune time because now people are even more woke. And I think it just made people more fed up with different things that are going on in the world. And so it was just like, you know, the fact that we were in quarantine and people were already in reflective mode and then that happened, it was just like, boom.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So how can we make sure that this protesting and this the Black Lives Matter movement isn't just something temporary? How do we make sure it's going to last? And more importantly, that something is actually going to change?
Yeah, I think it's like just more consistent conversations and people being more willing to be more compassionate, like of all races. I mean, because it's not even just like African-Americans. I mean, I'm sure Latinos experience it just as much in regards to our Native Americans, Asian Americans. I mean, we all have felt... even Caucasians, I mean, we all have felt it in some regard. And I feel like we all need to be more compassionate towards each other and stop thinking about our color, this color of our skin being being the thing that needs to be discussed. I think more leaders need to come forward and create more programs, more have more dialogue on this consistently, not just when an incident happens. And I think by doing so, it's going to really help emerge and heal the issue. I mean, it reminds me of what happened in South Africa with the apartheid. I remember when I was there, we did a video with this woman about this play that she was a part of, or I think she directed actually. And it was about, will black people ever forgive white people? Will white people ever forgive black people? That was a whole premise around the video, because it was just talking about like the pains of everything. And I think in a way, it's almost like they continuously have this conversation over there. And I mean, they still are having it, because I mean, there's still systematic issues that are happening, but I think we need to too. So I guess the point is, long story short, we need to have more conversation on it. There needs to be more funds, more things created to bridge the gap so that there's not this dynamic where people who aren't getting things that they need get things that they need. For example, in education, we know that African Americans aren't always necessarily getting opportunities to get school, or they don't have the financing to go to school. Like what institutional things can we put in place so that they have opportunities to not have such an economic divide, or
is this also where capitalism plays a role?
Yes, completely. Because then thinking about too, with being an entrepreneur and being a person of color, being a woman, I mean, there's already so many things related to that too, in terms of funding, in terms of those barriers. So I think, and now we see more investors across the United States as well, putting more funds aside to help minorities with getting funding, because there's more dialogue now about that, even more than before, and more like authenticity. So I think people just need to be more woke and be willing to be woke, not just say, I'm going to solve the issue, then put a Band-Aid on it, and then, a couple months later, nobody's talking about this. Like, this needs to be a continuously woke issue.
Yeah, and it seems like the past few months, we've all discovered we are in dire need of human connections, and that's probably one of the reasons why people are actually protesting and demanding change, right?
Yes, I completely agree. And I think, I feel like the way that the world was prior to COVID, it was like everybody was kind of like, and I mean, I'm guilty of it too, trust me, like being just go, 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 and not really kind of pausing or like being reflective or compassionate or having that human connection all the time. And I think after this, it has made people, people I've talked to anyway, have said that they're going to change a lot of different things, and I am too personally, to have more human connection. What's important? Why are you here? What's your purpose? What are you doing in the world?
Yeah. So how are you? Because I saw on Twitter, you posted an article titled Businesses Must Take Meaningful Action Right Now. But what does that entail, actually? What should they be doing right now?
Yeah, thank you. I was super excited. It was just like on my heart to write this piece for Cranes Detroit about like how businesses actually are like our light workers right now as well, even with other people in the world, but them to realize that. And so I think what my point in the article was, they can start actually creating this change online, like not feeling so defeated by what's going on with COVID or what's happening in the world, but actually seeing their place and how whatever the mission was as to why they decided to be a business in general, or work they were created, they created themselves, is to use that to amplify change. Whatever that maybe is not about like racial issues, or maybe it's about like child welfare, or maybe it's about education, start creating campaigns and content around that to engage audiences so that we can start resolving these issues. If the businesses really get involved and their customers then want to get involved, I mean, could you imagine that ripple effect of other people seeing from other customers or other businesses also taking part in that conversation and how change could happen? I mean, I can't even imagine. And I think now is just the time for all of us to really see the power that each of us has to create this change.
Yeah, it reminds me of what you said earlier in this conversation about leadership. I mean, I've interviewed on this show Seth Godin, I've interviewed Brian Solis, and they both said there's a lack of leadership, not just in companies, but also in the United States of America. It's probably an open door, but that's probably what makes all of this so much worse, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's because too, like when we're talking about going back to how people were living or like, just being go, 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 I think sometimes it makes us feel like, who am I? And I mean, I have this all the time, like who am I to start a company like with this big vision in mind? Or people might say, who am I to like want to change things in society and be able to actually do it. Who am I to step out of my 9-to-5?
Are you talking about imposter syndrome?
That too.
Because I can definitely relate. But I must admit though, I find it so hard to, I mean, I sympathize with people of color, of course, but I feel so ignorant all the time because I can only imagine how sad and how awful all of this must feel for them. But I can just, I mean, I can not fully relate because I'm not a person of color, but I'm a part of the LGBT community. And I remember when I was in Chicago and this black man passed by and he said something along the lines of gay ass people. And I was so shocked because I felt like, and my girlfriend said the same thing, like, come on, dude, we're in this together. We're minorities. So we should all like, yeah.
I mean, exactly.
So I'm wondering how can we, is this something that is going to create a bigger, a more tight community?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and that's what I was saying too, when we were talking about that, I feel like in every regard, like you're saying, even if a person is an African-American, in all different ways, I feel like we have been felt like alone or like someone was going against us and or being prejudiced towards us or being, you know, having some type of discriminatory type of attitude towards us in some regard. I feel like everybody has in any way, whether, I mean, even someone who has, you know, pink hair compared to someone who has blonde hair, or, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like if we all were just more compassionate, that's the way to really solve this. Everybody being more empathetic and placing yourself into the other person's shoes to really start creating change and healing. Cause I feel like most people, or not most people, but people have that feeling of, I can't, you know, relate. And I totally get it too. Cause there's so many things like, you know, I'm like from a male perspective, for example, I can't relate to things that, you know, men go in that regard, you know, in that sense. So, but I feel like if I can take things like in a different way and being in a female sense, you know, then I can understand. So I feel like we all can do that even in this regard with race and racism.
This is definitely true. And what are you doing from, let's talk about your company, Rezar. It's a content marketplace for the next generation of creators. What are you doing with your company to make a change?
Yeah, you know, so there's a lot going on with Rezar right now because we're in the process of raising our seed round and also just doing a couple of some other things internally. So yeah, so there's a lot going on, but I mean, we're still having content creators create content on what's happening, but my vision in moving forward is to do a lot more things with organizations, with different partners that we have strategically, to do more campaigns on this so that younger generations can create more content and more dialogue and then engage those organizations in that conversation to create change. So moving forward, we're definitely going to have more of a schedule around different themes and different topic areas that we will consistently do, whether it's every quarter or every month, where we're bringing something to light and encouraging young people to take part in that conversation.
Yeah.
And also encouraging brands too, that we work with. If our partner or if our customers want to take part in that conversation and the content that we're creating for them, I mean, that would be even better and like just so awesome for them to be able to do with us.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question actually, because I can see so many brands supporting the Black Lives Matter movement, but I'm wondering how do you find a balance between not capitalizing on people of color and actually supporting a good cause? Because I mean, there's so many companies supporting, but actually not hiring. I mean, only hiring white people and all that. So I'm wondering how can a company find a balance, the right balance?
Yeah, I think the main thing is to really, for them to go within and to start, like, even if it means hiring like consultants, or like I have a really good friend who she does like diversity and multicultural marketing stuff. And I think that finding ways of actually creating change and then documenting that and then distributing that to audiences, like to the public. So, you know, they could say like from this situation and seeing what was going on in the world in June 2020, then come forward in October, this is what we've changed since then. And continuously doing that, being more transparent in what it is that they're actually changing, instead of just saying, oh yeah, we're going to change. We're going to create a fund. Okay. Or like, we're going to create this initiative. But then like, okay, so what happened after you actually created that initiative that you did for like a PR stunt? Like, give me a break.
Yeah. I know. In the beginning of this interview, you told me about the terrible experience you had as an 8-year-old. But today, are you still feeling discriminated often at times, or how do you? Because you mentioned you're doing a seed round. Is that tougher for you because you're a female entrepreneur of color, or can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like throughout the journey of building Rosara, there have definitely been moments where, you know, I would walk into a room, and it wasn't necessarily like an investor meeting per se, but like wherever I was, and someone would say, oh yeah, like, so who's the founder? And I would be like,
oh my gosh,
me? And it was in the context of saying, basically, not, you know, like if I were to say, talk about the company, and they would just be like, I mean, you could tell what the context was, what they were trying to insinuate. You know what I mean? Like, who's where is the Caucasian male with you who's part of the company or who started the company? I even had an advisor one time who, I mean, I don't know if he, okay, well, what I took from it was that he was saying that I would always need a Caucasian white male to help me with my sales and that sort of thing. And I was just like, are you kidding me? And I mean, I can't tell you because, because during the time of starting a company and everything, I mean, there's so many things that you're going through internally about like your own self-esteem, your confidence, like just being able to keep pushing forward. And then the fact that you have people like this making these statements to you or insinuating these type of attitudes towards you. I mean, my gosh, I mean, that's like a whole other area of working on with one of my business coaches that I need to do. Because I mean, internally, you kind of just take that, you try not to take it in, but when you're so vulnerable, you do take it in. And then that's another thing that you have to overcome amidst everything else that is already enough with starting a company. So yeah, there have definitely been moments. I mean, I found with investors or something where, you know, it may not have been, it could, who knows exactly, but it probably could have been that way. I know many of my African-American connections, you know, we talk about who are entrepreneurs, maybe talk about these things. So I personally felt some things, not like, I can't tell you exactly the blatantness of it per se, but you feel it, like you kind of know it.
But I think now,
with the shift, there definitely is more. And I feel like just in recent times with things, there is more, since more conversations have been going on, and particularly now, people are becoming more woke to, you know, don't just look at my skin color, actually look at the content of my company. Like, what do you think about what it is that we're doing in terms of infrastructure, in terms of growing, in terms of scaling, in terms of the market opportunity? And if I were to get this far, like, I hope that you would believe that with an opportunity from you, I could probably get even further. Not probably, I will, because I will get even further with or without your help.
To what extent do you feel like you have to prove yourself more than maybe your the competition?
Well, I feel like in that regard, like I haven't really focused a lot in that way of it being, but I'm sure, like, you know, being in the public eye, I'm kind of just seeing it as like an opportunity, you know, instead of it being like a negative of being like in my industry. Cause I mean, it's of course, not of course, but just because of the situation at hand and how things are, most tech companies are run by Caucasian white males, and or why should I say Caucasian males. And so it just is the situation. And many times most of those individuals also have funding and all that. So I just feel like if I could come in and be different based off of who I am and believe in myself to make this happen, then hopefully it provides other opportunities for other people who look like me, who are women, et cetera, or male, whatever, you know, to make an impact and not to feel that even if the competition is different, you can still, it doesn't matter the color of my skin. It matters what my mindset is, what I believe, and what the goal is, you know, and how am I executing it?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I must say, Ashley, I think you're a big inspiration for all of us.
Thank you. You do.
I try. Who inspires you?
Yeah, I have a lot of especially like my mentors around me who have are my advisory board or people in my my network. But I would say firstly, definitely my parents have definitely, and my sister have definitely been my inspirations close to me. They always have pushed me to be the best of myself and to stay true to my integrity, my character, and my beliefs. But I also would say like some of my close advisors who have are my advisory board who have also experiences in entrepreneurship or other things related to that who have really inspired me. And then from the public perspective, I would say like Sarah Blakely is definitely one of my, or is my, well, I say one of my favorite entrepreneurs. I also like Oprah as well because of the fact that her have her platform is and how she's been able to inspire so many people. So I'm hoping like through Bizarre we can create like an inspirational type of platform.
Have you met her?
No, I hope to one day. Knock on wood, I really do. That would be so really cool.
I think you're forgetting about someone though, because I also read on Twitter, or was it an article? I don't remember, but you said that Michelangelo really inspires you too.
Yeah.
I found it really interesting. Tell me.
Thank you. Yeah, especially, well, I most people don't know this about me, but I am, I'm very extroverted, but I'm also very, very introverted. And I love painting and I love like creating pottery. Like eventually, like I'll probably have like a whole room in my house that is just all like artistic stuff. But anyways, though, but what I like about him is how he would see something and just carve it out to his vision in every detailed way possible. Like, and how he would basically have the entity or whatever it was, like just become in the process. And I feel like it's how we are in life. Like we each come into this world with like this canvas that we are, and we each have the opportunity to create who it is that we aspire to be, what it is that we want to see in the world. And we can just cut and craft and make it into being. And it's like, you don't need to be a special person or have a special skill. If you just have the mindset to do it and keep going after it, you definitely can make that into reality. And I feel like he's the epitome of that.
Wow. But going a little bit deeper in the topic of being an introvert and extrovert at the same time, how does that work out for you as an entrepreneur, I'm wondering?
Yeah, I found that like I can take in people's energy very quickly. And so especially being extroverted, because like it's like kind of like a give and take as you're around people, like you're communicating, you know, the connection and everything. And then I find that once that's done, I have to go home and I have to recoup and like just not talk and like not be around people. Like
my girlfriend is the same. So I'm referring to your statement of being in the rat race all the time and just like going faster and faster. How do you, especially now, how do you find the time to relax and what do you do in order to relax?
Yeah, I feel like I'm trying to really create a lot more balance. That's like my main goal, especially after we close around, is to have more of a like kind of like a life. I mean, still definitely be as committed with entrepreneurship in the company as before, but I think creating more balance so I don't get burnt out. So I'm trying to like spend more time with family, especially like my little niece and like my sister, and just go for walks more, like paint more, because I haven't painted in a while and I finally got to it during quarantine, which was like super felt so nice. And I think also journaling a lot and reading. So I'm trying to spend more time in like doing more gratitude journals and like keeping myself present more with stuff. So like in the morning, even though I haven't done it in a couple of weeks, but I was getting really good at waking up and like putting my gratitude in my journal and like scribbling down things that I wanted to just like let out. And I also found it's a good balance to have coaches around you. So I have like a couple of coaches that I work with that have been really helpful for me to like just maintain my sense of self and like prioritizing my soul, like the wellness of my soul, you know, amidst everything. So that's also been helpful. So I meet with like one of them, you know, like probably like once a week or something, depending on what's going on, to just recoup. And I think by doing that, that has really made me feel a lot more centered and getting more grounded into like who I am, my strengths.
In touch with yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that when people are talking about getting your shit together by you're 30 mm-hmm. years old, I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, exactly.
You just turned 30, right?
Yeah.
Me too.
I just turned, I just turned 31 in January now.
Oh, so, yeah, me too. Yeah. In November. I mean, I'm still 30, so. last question. What are your plans for the future? It could be short term, long term.
Yeah, you know, I really want to write. Like, I have a couple of things in the works in terms of more content geared. Like, I personally am doing more towards like art, more contributions to different media entities, like the Cranes piece. Books or like programming that are like, I also have a show that I've been meaning to put together called The Ripple Effect of You, and I'm really going to do that. Like, probably I'm already putting it together for real now. Like,
that's also the origin of the company, right? Rezar, yeah. The Ripple Effect. I read that, right?
Yeah, like it was so thank you. Yeah, it was so important to me to have that be the basis of everything about like positive change. And so I felt like I really wanted to have a show that also focused on that. So I'll be doing that. And now with the virtual part, it'll be really easy to interview people more.
Yeah.
Because of everything is. So we'll be doing that either late June or sometime in July.
Cool. Wow. That's amazing. Okay. I actually said it was my last question, but I still have one more question. I mean, I can also tell that you're very optimistic. You're a positive person. How do you remain positive when times are so hard, like right now?
Yeah, I tend to listen to a lot of podcasts that are really upbeat about like mindset and about staying positive. I mean, I feel like my parents are kind of naturally positive people, so it's probably kind of sort of embedded in me a little bit. But I feel like you said, like how you said, it's so easy to go back and not be that way. So I constantly am trying to like read quotes or like watch or listen to podcasts that can really be helpful to how I'm thinking and to shift my thinking. And then I also found recently now that whenever I am like going into a bad mood, like when I'm having a bad day, like going into a bad day, like kind of like a spiral, I probably need to just take a nap. And so...
Napping is so underrated.
Seriously, especially just how you can just be so... rejuvenated, you know, with just like a short period of time, even like just 20 minutes can just have such a difference, you know. So I find that like I'm doing that a lot more, and that has kept me very much more in a positive state consistently. And I find that when I do that, when I see like, oh, I'm going into a negative state, take a break, or like, you know, go take a nap, and that's really been helpful for me.
Okay, so I know what to do tomorrow.
And tell me if it works. I'm sure it will.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Ashley. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure.
That was it. Ik vond het super interessant. Ik hoop dat jij hetzelfde vindt. Zeker subscriben in dat geval. Maar ook check zeker mijn andere video's met Brian Soli, Steven van Bellegem, Björn Soenes, Patrick van Roosendaal. Ik wens in elk geval veel kijkplezier en tot volgende week. Bedankt om de podcast te beluisteren. Wil je meer interviews zien en horen? Of misschien zelfs langskomen in mijn show? Ga dan zeker naar tagmac.be. Tot de volgende!